We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave's Celebrity Segment. I'm excited to welcome program Caregiver Dave Nassani. Dave, how are you, man? What's up?
Great. I'm on my book tour, traveling the country. I'm excited.
It's always exciting. Our guest today is an author, Michelle Chenoweth, and she's going to talk about something that's really a hot topic, and that's Roe v. Wade. Michelle, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Neil. I'm doing wonderful.
And that probably, based on, we're going to learn more about your stance on this, was a not life-changing, but biggest news in a long time, especially if you're on either side, especially if you're an activist on either side. Wouldn't you agree, Michelle?
I would agree. And I had this novel in the works, and then the leak happened right before I got published, and it was like perfect timing. And my book came out, and then the Supreme Court did end up making its decision.
Wow. So you didn't plan that, huh, Michelle?
I did plan that my book would come out around May or June. My publisher had a date of May 17th. So in that regard, yes, I was trying to launch the book, but who knew that the leak would happen? So that was crazy.
Yeah. It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yes.
All right, Dave, first question for Michelle.
So let's talk about your latest book, The Wise Man. What does that have to do with Roe versus Wade? Just on the surface, nobody would know.
It's a contemporary suspense novel based on the story of Solomon in the Bible. So I write are contemporary novels that reimagine Old Testament stories in the Bible. I like to say my genre found me, and I can talk more about that. But basically, I was going through a lot of Job-like stuff. Job's the guy that has everything and loses it all and questions why me. And many years ago, I was in a really dark place and felt like I was losing everything. And I heard a still small voice. I look back now and say God was calling me to write that first novel. Since then, I engaged with a small Christian publisher and have found my way up to a big Christian publisher. And they were starting a line of reimagining Bible stories in a modern day way. I call it edgy Christian fiction or edgy inspirational fiction. So that led me to write then four more. And then my fifth novel, I decided to reimagine the story of Solomon in a contemporary setting with a contemporary character. And I made my main character a Supreme Court justice. And a friend gave me the idea to, you know, how Solomon decides between the two women fighting over the baby, to base that on two women that fight over custody of a child born live out of a failed abortion. And that led me to look at the whole Roe v. Wade in the headlines issue, and I tied it all together, and it came out as my novel, The Wise Man.
Wow, what a coincidence. My book is also about King Solomon's life and the Proverbs, and I put that story of the two babies in there. We're going to have to read each other's books. And
absolutely.
That's the universe bringing everyone together, Dave. You never know how these things happen. Exactly. So I'm going to go, Michelle, just based on that, you know, as you talked about before, you are a book coach, you help people write books and things like that. Are you ever concerned, especially when you really write about what you really feel about, when you talk about your customers and being a business owner, especially speaking about a subject like as very controversial as Roe v. Wade?
I do. I try not to, I try to stay open, and my books are universal. They just don't reach the Christian audience. That's why I say they're edgy, and they do fill that gap between the secular and Christian worlds. I like to say, you know, we don't need to preach to the choir, and we need to reach people with God's message that may not otherwise hear it. So that's why I decided to stick to the Old Testament stories, which are somewhat hard to comprehend, and reimagine those. As far as book coaching and helping other writers, so I teach a master class, I provide personal coaching and editing. I am open to all genres. Now, I would not take on something X-rated, let's just say, because I don't believe, you know, not that I just don't believe that that is a reflection of my values. And so I would take on clean fiction or nonfiction. And there's a lot out there that have powerful messages. I mean, even the Bible itself has messages for everyone and deals with all types of topics, domestic violence, drug abuse, you know, you name it, it's in there. So I try to stay open to various genres, topics, and that type of thing.
Yeah, I was assuming that Christians would be the ones that read your books, but now you're saying that they're the ones who don't read it. That's confusing. What's going on there?
Well, I opened my eyes when I attended the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and there was a TV producer. I was pitching my books to movie and TV producers, and Isaac Hernandez, he was a TV and movie producer at the time, and he sat up on the stage, and they had a panel that was talking about why I hate Christian films, and he held up my books and said, this is what we need to fill the gap of secular and Christian, because we need to be entertaining with our message, not just preach and not just, you know, have pablum out there or books and movies that are sappy, but we need to entertain and grab their attention and reach out to fill that gap. And that's what I hope to do.
I would think that Christians would understand that and embrace that. That's not happening.
I don't believe it's happening as much as we need it to happen.
Wow.
That's an interesting thing. You think that. What do you think? People are afraid to be Christians nowadays, Michelle, or some?
I think some are. I think some are afraid to take a stand. And I just want to say this. So I was also facing that fear in writing this latest book, which...
Turn off half your audience.
The justice does, you know, the main character based on Solomon does debate the whole Roe v. Wade issue in a fictional way, but much like the case they just heard. I thought about that, and I got an endorsement from Kirk Cameron, who was the speaker at the Right to Life this year, the March for Life, and also, you know, pretty out there activist as well as a famous actor. And I thought about that. And my publisher actually said, you may alienate half your readers. And I put his endorsement on the back cover anyway, because I said, you know, it's time to take a stand.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to wisdom. You know, I didn't go out to initially write a faith-based book myself. You know, I didn't want that. But how do you talk about wisdom without bringing in faith and God and the Bible and Solomon and all of that stuff? It's almost impossible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the impossibility is the process. So what has been the feedback so far of your book? People have said about it.
Mm-hmm. So most, I'd say 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100 actually, reviewers and feedback has been very positive. I have had one or two saying, you know, Kirk Cameron, not for me, or, you know, Christian fiction, not for me. And the pro-choice, you know, in favor of pro-choice people are not thrilled with the outcome of Roe v. Wade, obviously. Sure. I went down to D.C. actually recently, and I saw the protests going on. And so, you know, you take that risk of losing some of those people, but you gain the favor of those that are, you know, pro-life.
Yeah. So you have a Christian publisher. Are you saying that a lot of Christians aren't reading a book published by a major Christian publisher?
I would say some are not. Now, some minority. Might be Christian fiction is just that Amish Christian fiction that falls in that, you know, sappy I mean, not no offense against Amish sure. Christian fiction. There is a market for that. But I, again, feel that we need to reach out with mainstream. So my books are suspense with a little romance that, you know, don't necessarily need to have, you know, foul language in it, or they have violence, but not excessive, you know, gory violence. And they do have sex in them. Don't need to have graphic sex. So it's all on how you write it. And I tell my writing students that as well. And again, I teach Christian, non-Christian alike. Mm-hmm. There's a way to write it that you can incorporate all that. I was at a book signing, I'll never forget this, with my novels. And a guy came up to me at a Barnes & Noble and said, these must not be based on the Bible because they have sex in them. And I said, buddy, what Bible are you reading? Because, you know, the Bible has sex in it.
So you do have some alienation from, well, if Kurt Cameron endorsed your book, then his audience should be your audience then, right? Or you're thinking, especially if you get it out there, right?
Absolutely. Yes. It's all about how you get it across.
So I'm thinking it's a small population of Christianity that perhaps, you know, are fundamental and maybe old fashioned, or maybe still are hanging on to legalism or et cetera. But apparently the vast majority of Christians are in favor of your book.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And what stance do you take with Roe versus Wade? Because that's a very controversial stance. You would think whatever you say, you're going to turn off half the population.
Right. Again, my latest novel, it's not just about Roe v. Wade, by the way. That is a court case in the novel, but it looks at a bigger picture of God's message. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? So the character does go on from, you know, being the swing vote on the Supreme Court in this particular case to becoming very wealthy. You know, people look to him. He made this major decision, and he starts to actually become a pastor and open up a whole tourism virtual reality church on an island. And one thing, you know, goes into another, and he becomes very wealthy based on his wisdom. But that brings its own set of problems for him. And he, you know, we all know Solomon loved women. So he, you know, he becomes somewhat of a woman.
Down the same road, so to speak.
Yes, yes. Gives into some of those seven deadly sins. And the whole virtual reality tourism takes off, but that brings its own set of problems. So he kind of goes down those roads of letting his seven deadly sins take over, and it doesn't have a good outcome. I don't want to give too much away.
Sure.
It's about more. So I feel like, you know, it's not just about Roe v. Wade, but to answer your question, I think that readers on either side of that discussion, on either side of the debate or fence, will love the book because it does look at both sides.
Mm. Sounds like an interesting book. Got to read it.
Thank you.
So ultimately, a goal for this book, what do you want your readers to come out from your readers, this book? What is your hope?
I've had readers already read it that said they considered going back to church after reading it. I've had others say that about some of my other books, that they felt like they like opened their eyes to their faith again, had a little bit more hope in God's plan for them. And actually, so my books touch on a variety of issues. The Peacemaker, my second novel, was based on David and Abigail. And a lady came up to me and said, you know, Abigail's originally married to a mean, narcissistic, abusive alcoholic. And she said, oh, I feel like I'm married to that guy. Can we talk? And so I've had readers, you know, look at the different issues. One's on mental illness, the jealous son, and dives into that and say, you know, these books dive into real life issues and topics And, you know, that helped me to look at it from an angle where maybe I could believe in God again.
Wow. Very deep.
Very deep, for sure. Now, Dave, your question, the final question for Michelle.
So I'm caregiver Dave because I used to be mobile Dave. I've owned a gas station for many, many years, still do. And one day my wife had this headache, lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side with a stroke. And we had to work through the grief process. And now we've reinvented ourselves. I travel the country. She travels with me, helping caregivers to stay alive, because 30% of them actually die from the stress before their loved ones do. And so here we are. I've written 4 books. I've been on 53 TV programs, spoken prestigious stages all across the country. My question to you, Michelle, is how has caregiving touched your life? Because I started a website, caregiverdave.com, just helping people to understand that you're either going to become a caregiver or you're going to need a caregiver. It's inevitable. And now's the time to start preparing for that.
My parents are elderly, and my mother wouldn't want to hear me say that. My father is suffering from pancreatic cancer, and I've seen their caregiver journey and been a little bit of a part of that. I live a distance away, but I try to help out when I can. And kudos to you, Dave, and your wife. That is huge. Just a little bit about me, I guess, and the way I care for others. And that circles back to the beginning of our conversation. I got into this, what I write, by writing that book based on Job, the faithful one, the first one. And I had no desire to write on Bible stories. Let me just tell you that right now. I just wanted to be rich and famous, write the next great American novel, like most novelists do. And I was in a really dark place. I was losing my marriage. I was losing my business, which was an ad agency in the recession of the 90s. I felt like I was losing my kids who were becoming teenagers, and I was losing my health through the disease of alcoholism. And just like Job, God brought me through all of that. It took me 8 years to write that first novel, and it was, you know, painful, but a process, and brought me out through the other side. Now I'm happily married. We have a blended family of 5 adult children, and a good relationship with all of them. I am now living my dream of being a full-time author, speaker, and book coach. And I've just celebrated 18 years in recovery. So wow. I am helping others in that recovery journey. I don't have time to go into all those details, but I try to pay it forward. And that's how God like called me, I feel, to write in this genre. I wasn't a big Bible reader, and I had fallen away from the church at the time. I was angry at God for all of that. And in pulling me through and starting to speak to other writers, church groups, women's groups, and so forth, I started to feel like I was making a difference in, you know, even in one person in the room, one person's life. And little by little, you know, readers connect and say, yes, you have helped me find my faith again, or hear God's message when the Bible story was hard to read. And I got it because I was hooked on your book, you know.
Well, that's fantastic. It's a great mission. So where can we purchase the book right now? Where can people go?
Anywhere books are sold. They're in paperback, ebook, audiobook, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ask for it in your local store. If they don't have a copy, they'll get it. Library system, and or visit me and my website, and I'll send you an autographed copy. You can purchase a copy there. MichelleChenoweth.com. I guess they'll connect through you, Neil.
All right. Well, appreciate it. Appreciate it, guys. All right, guys. That was the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment, guys. Take care.